is to come together and to search you in our hearts. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. I pray most of all, if there's one that's lost that may catch just a piece of this live feed this morning, that may just catch just a glimpse, God, that glimpse will be of Jesus Christ and his love that he had for them, and that maybe they'd come to know you before it's everlasting too late. We thank you and we praise you for all that you do, and in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Again, I think we're going to read the whole chapter this morning. Let's begin reading with verse number 1. It says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief." As we read these first few verses here, I know, again, as we addressed on Wednesday night, there's a lot of questions right now about the end of time, or maybe is this the punishment of God that is taking place in our nation right now? And I just want to say one quick thing about that this morning. The thing of it is I still don't know. I don't know the mind of God. I don't know the heart of God. My ways are not God's ways, and my thoughts are not his thoughts. What I do know is I think it is pretty evident by the way that we are questioning this and the way that we are going about this and looking at that in that perspective is that we as a nation have a guilty conscience. You know, I think a lot of times when I go to my children and I say maybe just a generic statement about maybe something that is not being done around the house, or I say a generic statement to a baseball team that I'm coaching or a softball team, and people begin to defend themselves and they begin to say, "Well, I did this and I'm not doing that." You know, a lot of times those that speak up first are the ones that are guilty. And I would like to say this morning, as we're looking at God's word right here and as we're looking at the circumstances that are taking place, that I believe that America, that our nation as a whole, that we have a guilty conscience, that we know that we should have been doing things different than we were doing them. And now that this is coming about, we definitely are questioning the purposes behind it. Let's continue reading. I don't want to spend a lot of time with that this morning. Verse number 5, it says, Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. As we look at verse number 5, I want you to notice that the writer says here that we are the children of light. I want to direct you to another verse of scripture over in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I'm thankful that even though everything that's going on around us, the uncertainty, the circumstances that are taking place around us, that I still know this morning on the authority of God's word that I am a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are peculiar people, and in that we should be showing forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here in verse number 5, he says, "Ye are all the children of light, and ye are the children of day, who are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." And verse number 6 and verse number 8, both, you'll see a word there called sober. You'll see that word sober in so many times. We relate that to one definition, but that is simply a self-control. I want you to know here in verse number 6 and verse number 8 that we are called to have self-control and to be clothed with the armor of God. If there's ever been a time that the world needs to see a church, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about Fellowship Baptist Church, but I'm talking about the living church. I'm talking about the born-again believers that make up the one true church. If there's ever been a time that the world needs to see, the church is relying on God. And that doesn't mean that we have to go out and be everywhere in public and that we're exposing ourselves to what could be the circumstance that we're under. That doesn't mean that we go out and we test God or we tempt God. But what that means is that we let a lost and a dying world know that God is in control, that God has this, and that God is able to protect us, and that God is able to bring us through this circumstance. Let's continue reading verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I like verse number 10 because there's absolutely no way that I can lose here in verse number 10. I was joking with my son yesterday and my daughters, and we were talking about running races and doing different kinds of competitions, and they were saying, well, I come in first this time and I come in second this time. And I said, you know what? There's no such thing as second. It's only first loser. There's only one winner, and I was joking with my children yesterday about that. But I want you to notice in verse number 10 that if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there is absolutely no way that we can lose. The Bible tells us here, it says, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, whether I live or whether I die, we should live together with him. I'm glad that I don't have to wait for the eternal opportunity in heaven to be with Jesus Christ, but I know that his Holy Spirit lives with me right now. In my life and in my death, I can live together with him. Verse number 11, let's continue reading. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. I want you to take notice of that word edify, that we should be lifting one another up. It's definitely not the time for the church to come against each other. It is definitely not the time for the church to reach out and try to put one another down. But we should be edifying one another. Lift up your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lift up your fellow pastors, the preachers around you. Everybody is making some tough decisions. Everybody has got questions. Everybody has uncertainty. And it is definitely a time that we should rally together in order to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bring glory unto God in the middle of this circumstance. Verse number 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Let's read that one more time. And be at peace among yourselves. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that Facebook has given us to go out on this live feed this morning. I'm so thankful for the platforms that are available for our church to continue during this time of these circumstances. But I want to tell you that it can also be used for negative purposes for us to come against each other, for us not to live at peace among ourselves. I want to encourage you this morning to use the Facebook, to use it for the live feed, to use it to exhort one another, to admonish one another, but let's be very, very careful that we don't use it for an opportunity to tear down and to question everything that's going on around us, but to support and admonish one another, and that, like it says at the end of verse number 13, to live in peace among yourselves. Verse number 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that no one render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without season. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As we look at verses 16, 17, and 18, I want you to notice that it doesn't say to rejoice in the good times. It doesn't say to pray only when you need help. It doesn't say to give thanks only when things are going your way. But if we'll take verses 16, 17, and 18 and look at the circumstance that we're in, you know, it's amazing how many times that we've preached this scripture, not knowing the days that we're going to be in, not knowing the circumstances that were going to come along. If you had asked me back around Christmas or the first of the year, and man, everything is going great. The economy is booming. Everything seems happy. Everybody seems joyous. Everybody's doing some wonderful things in their life. And it is easy to rejoice at those point in times. It is easy to give thanks in everything because things are going good. And now that things are in the uncertain circumstances that we are now, we have turned to prayer. And I'm so thankful that we've turned to prayer. But that pray without ceasing, that should be taking part in our life at all times. That should be something that we're doing. Hey, you don't just have to pray to ask God for something, but you can use that time of prayer to worship God and to give him the honor and the glory that he truly deserves. It doesn't say to rejoice only in the good times and to give thanks only in the good times. It's hard to find things to give thanks for sometimes. Sometimes it's tough, but I want you to know that even in what we're going through right now, the circumstances that are happening around us, there is things that we can give thanks for. I don't have time to list them, but I'm going to continue reading in verse number 19. It says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse number 23 again. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that verse speaks plainly for itself without me trying to mess it up and explain it. Verse number 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all thy brethren with an holy kiss. Maybe not right now. Let's not greet brethren with holy kisses. Verse number 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I want us to go back and I want us to look at a verse for just a few moments this morning. I want us to take some time in this verse and the kind of the thought that I've had on my mind throughout the week. I almost preached on this last week and I felt like God led us in a different direction. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I want us to look at verse number 22. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. We are all learning some wonderful lessons about abstaining right now. Some tough lessons. We are all learning what it means to abstain, to stay away from. I was speaking to someone for just a few minutes yesterday. I never thought the word for 2020 that we all learned and become familiar with and began to use would be social distancing. We have got a new word in our vocabulary that we're using right now, and that is almost a type of abstaining in our lives. I want you to know, as we're learning these lessons of abstaining, that we have been told not to get in other people's personal space. We have been told, don't be in a crowd, don't shake hands, don't hug, don't touch the high traffic surfaces like doorknobs and keypads and debit cards. And I don't know how you refrain from all of that, but we need to try to heed that in our life. Don't touch your face. I was telling Randall just before service this morning, I never realized how many times in a day I touch my face until I'm now paying attention to it. And I've been told to abstain from that, and every time that I reach and touch my face, that goes through my mind. Now, I want you to know, as we're looking at these things, and Christians, I want to go ahead and say this, and those of you that may be watching with us this morning, I think it is important that we do our part to try and heed to this abstaining that we've been told. I think it's important that we take notice of this social distancing. I know that sometimes we want to be boastful and we want to throw our chest out and say, God's got us, but God has also given us some common sense. It's amazing how we want to rely on the things of the world until the things of the world don't agree with what we want to do, and all of a sudden, God's got us. That was free. I won't charge you for that statement. But as we're looking at abstaining this morning, and we're looking at don't be in the other people's personal space, the social distancing, don't hug, don't touch high traffic surfaces, don't touch your face, I want you to know that the impact of these rules may not be evident for a period of time. You may decide, you know what, I'm not going to listen to what they have told me. I'm going to touch anything I want to touch. I'm going to be in any crowd that I want to be in. I'm going to hug. I'm going to touch my face. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Well, I want you to know that at the very time that you do that, the impact may not be evident of what you have just done. We don't know 100% if breaking these rules will affect us or not. We don't know the long-term effect of what we're doing. But because of the possible danger that could be in touching these things and doing these things that we've been told to abstain from, we have decided that we're going to try to abstain from doing those things. Now, I want us to go all the way back to Genesis into the garden. I want you to notice that as God had created Adam and Eve there in the garden, as he was leaving them there, what a wonderful time it must have been for them to spend precious minutes with God there in the garden. And as God is leaving them there in the garden, he said, look, I've created this whole garden and you're welcome to the whole garden except for one tree. You are welcome to everything here except I need you to abstain from one thing. I need you to stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as God left them there in the garden, we know how that Satan come along and began to tempt them and began to question God's word to them. And we know that when God told them, he says, and if you eat of that tree, that you would surely die. Well, after Eve was tempted by the serpent and Eve went and took of the fruit, we know that Eve, as she took of that fruit and as she ate of the fruit, that she did not fall over dead physically at that very moment. We know that she didn't hit the ground at that very moment. But we know that Eve saw that the fruit was good and that she took the fruit and gave it to Adam also. Now, I do believe that Adam and Eve would have lived physically forever if they had not disobeyed God. But that disobedience, that sin, produced a result that was far worse than ending their physical life. They brought sin into the world by being disobedient and not abstaining from the thing that God had told them to abstain from. It produced separation between them and God and a spiritual death that now had to be reconciled. This thing that they did, this lack of abstaining that they had, the result maybe was not evident to them at that very moment, but it brought some things into our lives and into this world that God never intended to be here. If you look at Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." I know the verse continues, and we'll go back to the end of the verse here in a moment. But as we look at Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23, "For the wages of sin is death." The point that I want to make to you this morning is that as we've been told to abstain from doing some of these things, to not hug, to not touch our face, to not touch the high traffic areas, what if we treated sin and what if we treated the commandments of God just as important and just as with the same severity as we are as abstaining from doing the things that the CDC and the government has told us to do in order to protect us. See, you know what? The government and the CDC has not told us not to do these things so that we couldn't have fun. They haven't told us not to do these things so that we would become unsocial. But they've told us to do these things for our own protection. Just as in God's Word, so many times people look at God's Word and they think that God has instructed us to live the life that He has told us to live and to abstain from sin in order to punish us. But it is for our own protection. If you think about the sin and the things that God has told us to abstain from, look at all the hurt that it can produce in your life. Look at all the negative things that it can produce in your life. And that is the reason that God has instructed us to abstain from sin. First of all, in Romans 6, 23, again, "For the wages of sin is death." James chapter number 1, verse number 14 and verse number 15. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The sin that you're playing with may seem harmless at the moment. The trip that we take out in public, the not social distancing, those things may seem harmless at the moment, but at some point in time, there could be a price to pay for choosing to do those things. Just with sin, and when we look at sin in our life, there may be things that we're playing with. There may be small sins. It may seem so harmless at the moment, but it is going to produce a separation between you and your God. That is the only thing that can separate my relationship and my fellowship with God. I know that I'm saved. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I am responsible for keeping my life in a way that I stay in true fellowship with God. This sin that you may be dabbling with that may seem harmless at the moment, it will hurt your influence and your witness with others. And in due time, it will produce hurt, heartache, and devastation in our lives. See, as we go out and as we do the things that maybe we've been told to abstain from by the CDC and by our government to try to help flatten the curve is what they're calling it. Hey, I tell you what, I need to flatten the curve of sin in my life too. I need to work on that. But as we go out and we do those things, I don't find myself rationalizing why I can. I don't find myself going to a doorknob and saying, well, I can touch that because I'm a free person and nobody can keep me from touching that, so I'm going to touch it. You know, I find myself touching that doorknob because I absolutely have to, and then I go wash my hands or grab some hand sanitizer after that. Old preacher, you're living in fear. Call it what you will. I'm going to use some good common sense. But I don't try to rationalize why I can go be in a crowd. I don't try to rationalize why I can do all of these things that I've been asked not to do. So why in the world in our Christian lives, when we know what God's word says and we know what God's word has told us will harm us, we know what God's word has told us that will bring separation between us and God, that will harm our fellowship with God, why in the world do we go about in our spiritual lives and we try to rationalize why I can do this? Can't nobody stop me from doing this? Oh, I don't think this is wrong. Well, it doesn't matter what you think if God's word says that it's wrong. Stop trying to rationalize what God calls sin and abstain from the very appearance of evil. Stop irrationalizing why I cannot apply God's word to my life and just abstain from the appearance of evil. I almost brought something to church with me this morning for an illustration, a simple little bottle of water or something, and I was going to use the illustration that this bottle of water had been passed through several different public places and that people had touched this, and to see if anybody would want to come touch this bottle of water or even lick it or whatever, just to prove that no, we're all going to use a little common sense and abstain and stay away from trying to get ourselves exposed to this virus. Well, I'm going to tell you what, being sin sick is much more devastating and much more destructive than this virus could ever be. The thing of it is we don't know what this virus is. We don't know the effects of it. We don't know exactly how it would hinder our lives or how it would affect us individually. But I can tell you on the authority of God's word what sin will do to your life. Sin will draw a line in you and your fellowship with God. Sin will destroy you from the inside out. The first time that the sin comes on, it may seem as such a small thing. You say, well, preacher, how do you know all this? Because I've experienced it. I don't know about you, but I found myself watching a few videos on Facebook of people who have experienced this coronavirus and see how it affected them and how they went through it. Well, let me share an experience with you personally about sin. There's been times in my life when I thought something so small that I was doing, some small sin, that it wasn't affecting anyone, that it was my personal choice if I wanted to do this, if I wanted to do that. And it is. God has left me to be a free moral agent. And that small sin, I remember the first time that it came into my life, it was really no big deal. It was really something that you know, it was just so small, but I remember God's convicting spirit in my life. And I remember him showing me to turn away from it. But as I continued in that sin, as I continued going that way, it got easier and easier until the conviction was almost gone and I had convinced myself that there was no harm in it. Doesn't matter what you convince yourself of this morning, it is spiritually destroying you on the inside. Now that we've had just a little bit of a reminder about abstaining, I want to give you some good news. It seems like with this coronavirus that you turn on the TV and or the Facebook or however you get your news, and you see very, very few good circumstances. You see very, very few positive things coming out of this. But I want to tell you something about sin. I want to tell you something about abstaining from sin. I want to tell you that I know the cure. The Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that I've got a God that knowed my sin, that knew my sin, that knew that I failed, that knew that I had come short, that knew that I chose a wrong way, and yet he loved me so much that he says, if you'll just confess your sins, that I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of those sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. In Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23, you remember a moment ago, we read, for the wages of sin is death. But I want you to listen to the back part of it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. And maybe one of my favorite scriptures, because probably one of the first that I ever learned, John chapter number 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, I know the effects of sin in my life, but I'm so thankful that I've got a God that will forgive me of my sin. There's been so many times in my Christian life that I have found myself that I wasn't abstaining the way that I should. And I want you to notice what it says right here. It says, to abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, there's no need for there to be 10 verses after that listing the sin. You know in your heart, I know in my heart, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides me that I know what the appearance of evil is. As we look at this, I'm glad that sometimes that I have a God that even though I have fallen into sin, that he loves me, he'll forgive me of my sins, I have eternal life through him, that he knew I was a sinner, and still he gave his son, Jesus Christ, for me. In closing today, I want you to take just a moment, just stop what you're doing wherever you're at. If you're watching on Facebook this morning, I want you just to stop with us for just a moment. I want you to think about your life right now. Are you taking God's word and what God tells us to do and how God tells us to live our lives as sincere as we are, the abstaining that the CDC has told us to do? Are we taking God's word as sincere as we are what our government has told us to do? Hey, we want to flatten the curve. We need to flatten the curve of Christian people who are so caught up in sin that they are an effect to God. Can that happen, preacher? Sure. I've been there. I've been to the place to where sin was evident in my life and I could be of no effect to God. If you're here and you're saved and you're here or listening on Facebook and you're saved, I want to ask you, are you dabbling in sin? Is sin evident in your life? Now listen, it's going to take a little more work. You know, I think it's really cool that our schools are, it's a lot of work too, but I think it's really cool that our schools, they're continuing to try to educate our kids, even though they can't go to school right now. I've seen some really funny things on Facebook about homeschooling. I've seen some very funny things about how parents that used to think that their kids were no trouble at all are ready to suspend their kids from school and all those things and met some really cute, but I think it's great what they're doing. But let me tell you something about your spiritual life. While we have this time that we can't come together as a church, you're going to have to put a little extra work in. You're going to have to spend a little more time with God. Spend a little more time praying so that you don't find yourself weak. Well, preacher, I'm trying to abstain from everything that this world is telling me to abstain from. Well, I want to tell you what, we need to abstain from what this word tells us to abstain from. Randall, I think you've got some music for us, if you will. Wherever you're at, if you will, just bow your head with me. Just take just a minute and let's just reflect for just a minute. If you're saved and you find yourself dabbling in sin, you find yourself that you're not abstaining from the very appearance of evil as God has instructed us, let me again just reassure you of the cure, and that is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. If you're listening with us today and you've never been saved, you can't tell me of a time that you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You've got a sickness that's way worse than coronavirus could ever be, and that's sin sickness. Again, we don't know what the effects of coronavirus would be to each and every one of us, but I can tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can tell you the effect of that. One day you will stand before God. One day you will stand before a holy and a righteous God. And if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And if I stand before God not knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, then I will spend eternity in hell. See, I love to be able to come in here and to preach messages that lift us up and tell us that God's got us and God's going to hold us up. But I want to tell you something, that God began holding us up and God began handling the situations in our lives over 2,000 years ago when he allowed Jesus Christ to give his life for me. He handled the biggest problem that I would ever have, and that was my sin. If you're with us this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's nothing more important in your life right now than coming to know him. Well, preacher, I don't know how to do that. First of all, you have to admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, that they buried him on the third day, he rose again, and confess him as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I thank you for this time that you've given us to be together. God, I thank you for your word, even though sometimes, God, it is that sharp two-edged sword that cuts coming and a going. God, I pray that you'll help me to pay as much attention to my spiritual life as I am to my physical. Help me, God, as even as tomorrow, as I go to work and as we go do the things that we must do, God, and we think about the abstaining that's been given to us by the CDC and by others, that God will also pay that much attention to our spiritual life and the way that you've told us to abstain. God, I pray for Christians everywhere that may be listening right now, God, that the ones that we may be dabbling in sin, we may think that it's harmless, we may not see the effect of it right this moment, but God, we know that it is destroying the relationship and the fellowship between us and you. God, I pray to your Father, if there's one that's listening that's lost, I pray that they'll find an opportunity, that they'll ask you to come to into their heart and to be their Savior and to forgive them of their sins. God, we thank you that you loved us and you provided a cure. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us today. If you had the opportunity, or maybe sometime during the service today that God spoke to your heart, if you made a decision for Christ and you want to leave us a little message on our Facebook page, I'll try my best to reach out to you. Maybe you're a Christian and the message touched your heart this morning, and maybe you just want a few verses of scripture you want to reach out. Feel free to reach out through Facebook. Thank you again for being with us this morning. Please watch our Facebook page as we'll be continuing to give out announcements about church services. We will be live streaming on Sunday morning until further notice. Thank you for being with us this morning.